This is the Jada Edwards Podcast. Welcome to Season 5. As usual, we're going to get into the Bible and the Word of God, but we're also going to talk about friendship and overall wellness, what it means to be in various seasons of life, laugh a lot, and grow together. I can't wait for you to see what's in store.
So, y'all, I got a group text from a friend of mine, actually just yesterday, because she's trying to plan her summer vacation, and she's trying to have a little girl hangout time. And so I was excited. What's the destination? It's Caribbean. That's my love language. Let's do it. And so I'm looking, and like, it was a miracle because my calendar was free. I was like, oh my gosh, it's open. I could do something, get the kids, put them somewhere, drop them off somewhere. We about to go and have a good time at an undisclosed location where photos are not taken. And so we're about to have a good time. And so I was excited, and I was like, yes, let's go. And she started giving me the details. Then I asked, because I'm that person that says, who all going? Y'all know what I'm talking about. When somebody's like, oh, let's all go out to eat. Okay, I mean, I want to go with you, but who all? Because my connection with you is not going to be the same as my connection with the people connected to you. You know what I'm saying? You got a different kind of grace than I got. And so I wanted to know how I was going. And she was like, why? Girl, don't try me. Not today. I need to know. I need to know. I need the last 4 digits of their social. I need to know who's going. And so she starts telling me who's going. And I saw two names on there that were kind of like a question mark. I was like, ooh, we not friends like that, because we in a different season of life. Y'all like church. They kind of fly by church every now and then. They not like really in it with the Lord. So I was like, oh, I said, but that's okay. This is my friend. She loved Jesus. It's okay. All the Jesus lovers, we gonna outnumber the sketchy. So we be all right. You gotta look at the balance, y'all. You gotta look at the balance. That's why you can't be the only spiritual one in the group. Don't act like you about to influence everybody. Get out of there. And so I said, okay, that's cool. Then I saw who they were inviting. I said, oh girl, we getting far. It's not Jesus at the center. We're getting far from the center. It's Jesus on the outskirts. I was like, girl. So I was so sad, y'all. And I'm telling you, it was nothing but the Holy Spirit. And he was like, you can't go. Why, Lord? Lord, you know what? I'm going to stay focused. You know what? This is going to be a time for me to share with them. It's going to be fine. He was like, you can't go. You can't go. And he started explaining to me, which I already knew. He's like, this is going to be a relaxed environment. You want to have fun. You don't know what you might be exposed to just because you're part of this group. Why? And something could happen on this trip that make you regret going, that could undo work I've been doing in you and through you. Why? Why? All it's going to take is for one picture to get posted, one something to get. He's like, why? So I was in my feelings, but I obeyed. And I was kind of mad about it. And I told her, I said, girl, I can't go. And she was like, why? I said, girl, Jesus, tripping. She knew what I meant, because she knows what I do. I said, he tripping. He won't let me be great. So there I was. I was like, it's fine. So then today, I'm like, cool. I'm going to just have my alone time. It's what I need to do. So I'm having my quiet time, y'all. And actually, I'm coming out of this coffee shop, getting into my car. Y'all, this person came up to me while I was getting in my car. Tell me, excuse me. I said, girl, you can't roll up on people like that. And it's cold, so everybody got an attitude anyway. I was like, girl. So she came up to me. She said, you don't know me. I just saw you somewhere, whatever. She said, but I just need some prayer. And listen, your spiritual side wants to be like, yes, let's tarry. But your flesh, that's like, it's cold. I'm trying to get in my car. I got places to be. I don't know you. I was like, oh. Listen, this is Romans 7, okay? This is the thing I want to do, but I don't. What I don't do, the thing I hate is what I do. If you're not honest, if you have those moments, like, oh, I know what I should do. I want to give you info at visit1cc.com. I want to give you prayer. Listen, I know exactly who should be praying for you. And she was like, can you just pray with me for a minute? And I was like, yes. With a question mark. Yes? Yes, I will. So then she goes on to tell me, just dealing with stuff, struggling, wrestled with some suicide attempts this year, depression. Then she just lost her job. It was just the litany of things. And see, I was sitting there. I was like, okay, this is a moment. This is a privilege. This disruption is a privilege. Because you didn't do anything, Jada, to earn the right to be able to intercede for somebody. It's not because your life is amazing. God just chose you. And then all of a sudden that conviction came over me. And I wasn't thinking about my schedule and where I needed to be. And the Holy Spirit was like, see? I was like, I see. And then I wasn't in a rush. And I was like, Lord, let me honor this person in this moment. And my kids are in the car. Who is that? You know her? Is that our friend, mommy? Is that a stranger? I was like, chill. So now when I say, no, they go to the church, they're like, oh, but we don't know them. No, but they go to the church. Like, they know what that means. We go to church. They go to church, chill. So, y'all, I got to pray with her. And, I mean, she is bawling. I started to cry with her. I don't even know why. But the Lord just started giving me things to pray for her about and just to cover her life that I might not ever see her again. But what a privilege to be able to say yes, even a reluctant yes, in a divine moment so that God could use me, right? And I remember driving home thinking, this is the paradox of what it means to be on mission. That you're going to have times where you want to be with the people and you got friends and you're trying to kick it and you're just like, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as it used to be. Why can't I do this, Lord? He's like, yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be, but how it used to be is not the standard. The standard is where I'm trying to take you. And this is just enough to corrupt the plan I have for you. It's just enough to corrupt your character enough where it's going to undo the work we've been doing. And you got to say no. And it's not even a really hard reason. You just got to say no. And then there's going to be other times where you're like, you know what? I do need to be by myself. Let me work on that. Fine. Okay. I know what it is, Lord. I need some time with you. And right when you think you're doing the right thing, he's going to bring a disruption. And you're like, well, which is it, Lord? Do I need to be with the people? Do I need to be by myself? Can I tell you, it will depend on the moment. But in both instances, in order to deny self, to say no to the fun thing with the friends, to say no to wanting to shut down that individual, the only way is that we can have maturity for the mission. The mission that God has called us to requires a level of maturity that this world and really the church don't talk about. Spiritual maturity in the church is equated with spiritual knowledge. Maturity is not how long you've been a Christian. Maturity is not how many times you've done your Bible through a year plan. Maturity is not how well you adhere to the rules of the fast. Maturity is not how short your skirt is, how high your neckline is, how many scriptures you can quote. That's not maturity. Maturity is being able to respond immediately to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, especially when it goes against the craving of the flesh. Maturity is being able to say yes, God, even when everything in you wants to say no. It is about response. And if we're going to be on mission, if we're going to do what God has asked us to do in the way that he's asked us, it requires a maturity that I think we overlook, because that kind of maturity is not going to get applause. No one's going to look and say, look at you serving. Look at you quoting. Look at you up there leading. That's not the maturity that they're going to see. They're not going to know that you said yes to a conversation that you didn't want to have. They're not going to know that you said no to something that you really wanted to do because you wanted to honor the Lord. That's a private growth that God says, I'm developing, I'm cultivating something in secret so that when I'm ready to display you, you will bring me glory. So the maturation process is not for an audience. That's between you and the Lord. But if you're not discerning and looking for it, you're only going to think that your growth, your milestones are going to be marked by what's visible. And God is saying, my work is invisible. You have to know how I am moving you further and further away from your flesh so that you can walk more firmly in the Spirit. That's the maturity process. So when we say, oh, I've matured in the Lord, ask yourself, what's my response time? That's really the question. When you call 911, depending on what zip code you're in, you know response time varies. But when it comes to our spiritual walk, our spiritual growth, response time is the measurement. God is saying, when I say go, I'm trying to see how long it takes you to go. How many other people you have to consult with? How many times you got to pray about it, even though it's really a delay tactic? How long are you going to come up with excuses? When I say yes, when I say go, move, I want to see how you're going to do it. When I say no to that, leave it, cut it off, I want to see how long it's going to take you to do it. Are you going to do it quickly, or are you going to try to do it gradually and wean off of it? Are you going to tell yourself you can just say no and do it once a week, or are you going to do what I said and say cut it off completely? He wants to know your response time. He wants to know how quickly can you respond to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. Because we are here not for the enjoyment of our own life, but for the use and the pleasure of the Father. And he says, I cannot use you if you cannot respond to me. See, so while you could be having divine moments, while I could be using you in divine ways, I cannot when it takes you 17 months and 18 years just to respond to the last thing I said. So let me tell you how that shows up in scripture. A bunch of different ways, but I'm going to give you two examples. In Matthew chapter 14, here's what has happened before a really well-known story that we know about. Herod's birthday had come, and the daughter of Herodias danced before Herod, and he was feeling her. So he was like, girl, whatever you want. Whatever you want. That's another sermon, but that's just a footnote. She danced, and she moved it right. That ain't new. He ain't need TikTok. Okay, he had her right there. And he was like, girl, yes, whatever you want. So much so that when this joker said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter, he was sitting there like, huh, cool, just keep dancing. Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And so after that, he sent, had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. She brought it to her mother because the mother was really the instigator. Another story. So then the disciples found out, y'all, and they went and they told Jesus. They took the body, buried it, then they went and told Jesus. Now, that brings us to Matthew 14, 13. Here's what happens. John the Baptist is beheaded. The disciples go and bury the body. They come and tell Jesus. And the next verse says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place to be by himself, right? Because he's like, wait a minute, the one that the Lord sent before me, This was my mother's nephew, right? Like this was Mary and Elizabeth. They were the whole miraculous conception thing going on. Like this was significant. Now John the Baptist is not only dead but beheaded in such a traumatic, arrogant fashion. So he withdraws, and it says he went there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. In the same verse, it says, but when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I don't know if y'all understand what's happening here. This man is 8 minutes into grieving the beheading of his beloved John the Baptist. And the father doesn't say, let me give you a minute. He says, I still have mission for you. And in the midst of this grief, I'm not only going to send people to disrupt your quiet time. They're not even coming to keep you company. They need something from you. And when they come and interrupt what you need to be doing as you're trying to heal, I want you to heal them. While you're grieving, son, I want you to heal. And it's not one or two. It's crowds. And so it says he healed their sick in the midst of his own misery. Our Savior saw mission. What if the crowds had come and he had said, not right now. I'm having a day. I'm going through something. Do you know that what he was going through was legitimate? It wasn't made up. This was real grief. But somehow, in the sovereignty of God and his grace and his goodness and his plan, he said, my son is capable of living in this place of grief and living in the mission I've called him to. And I can trust him because he responds to me. So I can trust him that when I bring these crowds, even though he's in a place of pain, that he will not prioritize his pain over the people. I can trust my son to know that the people coming to disrupt his time of grief are from me. He is not going to say, the enemy tried to come in. Mm-mm. He knows it's from me. He will not only see them, he's going to heal them. It says he healed the sick. So now we see Jesus' grief kind of put on hold. The pain that he's dealing with so that he could minister to people. It says he went ashore, saw a great crowd, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. But that's not all, y'all. He healed the sick. And if you read later on in Matthew chapter 14, as the chapter continues, it says, now when it was evening, the disciples, you know, this is what the disciples good for. They like, I mean, you don't have to go home. This is basically what they said. Because now when evening came, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. The day is over. Send the crowds away. Because the disciples like, that was cool. Everybody got healed. We good, Jesus? Because it's dark. It's a lot of people. It's time to send them home. You know, the disciples, they were still growing. And so he said, send them away so they can go buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, at his opportunity to get rid of the disruption, to get rid of the inconvenience, his response is, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. And if you know the rest of the story, he ordered the crowds. He ordered the disruption to take a seat. He didn't dismiss them at the first opportunity. He said, the Father is doing something here. And I know the Father got my back with this grief. I know the time is going to come where I get to be with my Father and he's going to mend up my broken heart. He's going to draw near to me. He's going to be like a salve to this wound in my heart. But right now before me, there's divine opportunity that I could send away, but I'm telling them, sit. Sit. So that I can provide for them. I've already healed them. Now I'm going to perform the miracle of all miracles. I'm going to feed 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Now, I need you to understand that we only have the miracle of the 5,000 because we had a Savior who was willing to be in ministry and show up in the midst of his own misery. That is maturity, church. When you have a space and you know that you could be selfish, and I can tell you that everything in this culture is gonna say, take time for you. Self-care. If you don't love yourself, who will? Jesus. And he knows. I don't know of an opportunity. I don't know of a time in my life where God has sent someone or something where I needed to pray or serve or give, and it was not clearly the hand of God. I don't know of a time in my life where what was going on with me personally was greater than what God was doing through me. He's like, I got you. We're going to walk this journey forever. The grief is not going to be over in 10 minutes. This is a journey. But in the midst of this, in the midst of your pain, when I don't take the thorn away, can you still be on task? Because I'm going to bring people that need you. And if you get sucked into this culture and wait to hear from God until you're healed, you won't have much ministry to speak of. You won't have much to speak of. We lead while we're limping. We bless others even in our brokenness. Only the Spirit of God allows us to minister to someone in need when we have a need. And the Spirit of God allows us to find so much satisfaction in him. I don't have to say, what about me, God? I know he's got me. And maybe not at that moment, but he will. And guess what happens after Jesus feeds the 5,000? He orders the crowd to sit down. They feed them. 8, they were satisfied. Notice that. They're being satisfied by a man right now who's broken in his heart. They're satisfied. They're full because, listen, sometimes you're going to be before people and God's going to call you to fill them and satisfy them even out of your own deficit. I'm not talking about dysfunction and unhealthy character and sin. I'm talking about in our everyday brokenness when life is just lifing. And he's like, you can still do what I've asked you to do. He feeds them. There's abundance. There's stuff left over. Then after that, he made the disciples go get into a boat. Says he went back up to the mountain by himself to pray. He's like, okay, God, remember where we left off. I'm sad. I need my time with him. Then, but he didn't even do that long because by the third watch of the night, he looks up and it's a storm. Let me walk out on this water real quick, see what these disciples are up to. I'll be back, Lord. That's what it was. It was mission after mission after mission. And the scripture doesn't ever tell us, and then Jesus was healed from his grief with John the Baptist. As far as we know, there was a condition, that was a state that he took to the cross. But guess what? His ministry wasn't hindered because maturity on mission says that what God has asked me to do, how I serve others, I don't have to give that out of my natural flesh. So when I'm having a bad day, I don't have it to give. You don't need to have it to give. You need to yield to the Spirit so he gives it through you. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you're waiting on your own strength and your own good day and to have peace of mind and be in a good space to talk to everybody, you'll never talk to everybody. And then when you do, you won't have the God thing to say because you stuck on yourself. Only God can take you out of that space so that you can go and minister and be on mission. Y'all, maturity for the mission is no joke. It's thinking outside of self, trusting that God is the author and the father and the master of self-care. I don't have to do it for myself. God is not going to run me into the ground. God cares for me. He tells me when to pull back. He tells me when to take some time. And sometimes it looks like this. Sometimes we don't get a week where we get to go away and retreat and refresh and all that stuff. Sometimes it's just a little bit of prayer. Then you got to go heal and then a little bit more prayer. Then you got to go be with the disciples in the boat. The Christian life is not about this total disconnect so you can just recalibrate yourself. I don't know where that came from. Listen, you don't take vacation from a life you love. Vacation is only necessary when you don't like your life. When I go on vacation with my family, I'm still asking God, who do we need to talk to? What do we need to do? What am I going to teach next? I don't check out from the thing that I love. If you got to check out from that, you need to check your heart. God says, this thing I've called you to, you're going to die out of this. It's not going to ever end. So it doesn't matter what space you're in, the Lord is going to call us to that unique kind of countercultural maturity. But here's the second example. In Romans 15, you see the same thing with Paul. Paul says in Romans 15, 22, because I know y'all going to read this later. Romans 15, 22, Paul says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing. Y'all say in passing. That's going to be important. As I go to Spain and be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. I just want to say, when you fasting, some good water tastes like juice, don't it? I was like, ooh. I was like, is this flavored? It's not. Just ain't had no flavor in my mouth in a while. Like, my God, that's amazing water. I don't know where it's from. Probably the tap. Hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So now what's happening here in verse 20 of Romans chapter 15, Paul has said, this is my ambition to preach the gospel. So it's the end of Romans. Romans has 16 chapters. So he's wrapping up this amazing letter that he sends to the church at Rome. And he's kind of sharing something personal here. And I find it fascinating that it was included because Romans is heavy doctrine. If you ever take time to study that book, heavy doctrine. It's about salvation, salvific history, our glorification, the Jews and Gentiles, all the plans, everything. Romans is crazy. So here we go at the end of this letter, and now Paul is talking personally, and he says, I have so often been hindered from coming to you. And he says in verse 23, I have longed for many years, how long? Years. To come to you. So here's the thing. Paul is confessing now at the end of this letter. Listen, I know you see me planting these churches and doing all this stuff, but I miss y'all. I miss my people. He's out there by himself all over the world, all over this part of the world on these missionary journeys, and he is lonely. That's what he's saying. He's lonely. I have been longing to see you for how long? Years, y'all. But here's what's interesting about Paul's explanation. He says, I've been hindered, right? So do you, this is the question he's basically saying, do you need to know that sometimes the holy ambition, the holy path God calls you to is going to hinder what your heart wants. It's going to hinder what your heart wants. And sometimes it's a spouse, and sometimes it's kids, and sometimes it's career, and sometimes it's a certain job. And this is the perfect example. What Paul was longing for was good. He wanted community. He wanted connection. He wanted to be with the people that he had done ministry with. And now this longing, the thing that his heart wants, has been on hold for years. Why? Because he was on mission. On mission. And so Paul is showing us that, listen, it's not about it being a sin issue. It's the fact that sometimes the path that God calls you to is going to put on hold the things that your heart desires. Now, let me tell you something about hold. Desires being put on hold are not desires being put away. Some of us are like, you know what, Lord? Just take away the desire. And he's like, I'm not. Because I want you to have a longing, and I want you to have something unfulfilled on earth so you know that only I can give you fulfillment. I want you to have to wrestle with that tension so you keep choosing me over how you use your body. So you keep choosing me over these relationships. So you keep choosing me over where you spend your dollar. I'm not going to take away the desire. I'm not going to let you wake up one day and never, ever want to have sex again for the rest of your life. I'm not gonna let you wake up one day and never, ever want to be married. I'm going to always let that be a little tension, because I need you to understand that this earth don't satisfy, that ultimately your satisfaction is in me. And I want you to have to constantly choose me over you. If I take away the desire and I choose God, then where's the choice? He took away everything I want but him. That's not how God works. He says, I know, Paul, you want this thorn removed. And I know when I say no, it's not going to be because you don't want it removed anymore. You're going to have to walk in my grace. That's what it means to choose maturity. I'm choosing the things of God even over the longing in my heart. Paul says, I had longed for this for years. So the question you have to ask is, what have I been longing for years? And some of us are a year or two into what we want, and some of us are 10 or 15 years into what we want. And the truth be told is we are spiritual and holy and godly, like the first 2 or 3 years of wanting something and God is not doing it. You know, girl, the Lord's timing. And we be like, yeah, you know what, dude? Whatever. Listen, God got me. He gonna work it out. God is sovereign. He's good. I'm content. Okay. Find me in 15 years. Find me in 20. Because whatever you think it is, soon as God does it, you're going to want the next thing. So the contentment don't come from God giving you the thing off the list. The contentment comes from finding your satisfaction in God. And so what happens is after 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, why you won't give me this, Lord? Why you won't fix this? And we start working through why God is not moving in the way we want him to move. Well, that's because we haven't truly realigned our desires. We just tried to wait for what seemed like a reasonable spiritual window. And then when God didn't do it, we're like, hold on, God, because remember, I've been trying to be right for 2 years now. I don't know how much right I got left in me. So I need you to get on this answering situation. And he's like, no, I'm going to hold you in the tension. Will you still be on mission? I'm going to hold you in the tension. It's not because what you want is wrong. It's because what I have is greater. I'm going to hold you in that tension. Will you still be on mission? Paul says, I've longed for it for many years. And this verse is challenging us to grow in a spiritual maturity, because we want miracles, but we don't want no maturity. We want God to show up in these miraculous, great ways, and we want to give him immature temper tantrums when we don't get our way, and we call it prayer and fasting, and really we're just not content that he said no. He says, I may say no, and I still want you to say yes to me. Because when you said no to me, I still said yes to you. When you didn't want to have anything to do with me, when you decided when you're going to come back to church and you decided when you're going to get right, nobody got right the first time Jesus called on their heart. Nobody. It was 89 chances. Near death, in the wrong house, in the wrong bed, in the wrong car. And you're like, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Oh, really? Now you're mine? Now you're mine? So he's like, you know how many times you've said no to me and I still said yes to you? You can have a few no's to yourself and still say yes to me. It's what I require of you. It's how the world is going to know that the call of God, the glory of God, the path of God is greater than what you want out of this life. I need to be able to deny you some things in the life. Let me tell you something, because you're going to get married, and then you're going to need counseling, and then you're going to have children, and you're going to need more counseling. You're going to be trying not to be married. You're going to be trying to put your kids somewhere, and then the kid's going to leave, and you're going to look at your husband and be like, oh, my God, I don't think I cover you no more. So then you got to go through that kind of counseling, or we get divorced, and we got to go through divorce care. Then we got to deal with, listen, it's always something. There's no thing that God can do for you right now that will answer the question of satisfaction. Nothing. If you are not already satisfied in him, there's not something he can do for you to create that. If the cross wasn't enough, there's not anything else he's going to do that makes you say, okay, God, now you're good. So he says you have to have this maturity for yourself, and you have to work against the call of the culture. He says, I hope to see you in passing, y'all. This is what Paul says. This is how I know mission was everything. Because as deep as that longing was, he says, the only way I'm going to see you is if it's in passing on the path that God already has for me. He said, as much as I want to see you, I'm not getting off my path. Now, if I happen to see you on my way to Spain, which was the next stop of his journey, then I will be so glad that the Lord gave me a glimpse of the desire of my heart. But as much as I want you, if God has me going this way, even if you're right there, I'm not going this way. I got to stay on my path. I might just have to wave at you from a distance, but I will not get off course just to satisfy something in my heart. He says, if I happen to see you in passing, which, by the way, means you need to be on my path. And secondly, it means I'm not staying with you. You're a stop on the way to my next place. Because as much as I long for you, I long for the glory of God even more. As much as I desire connection and family and friendship, I desire a well done from my Savior even more. Even more. And so the question is, will you hold your longings loosely? When you want to be by yourself, when you want to be with people, there's going to be so many times where God is calling you to say no to yourself and say yes to what he's called you to do. Moment by moment, will mission be the priority? It requires a maturity that is not popular. It goes against every self-protective, self-caring, self-loving thing that this culture is telling us. And I'm not saying hate yourself. Come on now. The Lord loves you. You do love yourself, but you don't love yourself first. The Lord loves you first. And because he loves you first, he's going to direct you in a path that's best for him and good for you. So the maturity requires that we measure growth a little differently. It can't just be by the new and shiny thing. It's progress as we respond to the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about kids, especially boys, they can grow pretty quickly. My son, I swear, he wakes up in the morning, and I'm like, you are taller than yesterday. But now my daughter's going through the same growth spurt. She stayed the same size for a long time. And then all of a sudden, she almost kind of skipped a size, which wasn't cool with my wallet, but we had to get her situated. And so she came out of the room the other day, and I was like, girl, those pants are a little short. She said, how you know? I see your ankles, ma'am. That's how I know. It's not a mystery. And so she's like, no, Mom, they're fine, they're cute. You've outgrown those. And listen, I know she's outgrown it, not because we talked about it, not because somebody told me about it, not because somebody posted about it, not because she had to convince me. I saw the evidence of the growth. And when we choose maturity for the mission, y'all, we don't have to put ourselves on display. We don't need screenshots and snapshots, and we don't have to brag about how faithful we are to the Lord. The people, even if they don't know us, they ought to see the evidence. Because they ought to say, that old thing that used to fit you don't fit you anymore. They ought to say, you've outgrown some things. Something looks different on you. Your attire, the way you clothe yourself is different because you've chosen a different course. And so maturity for the mission, y'all, requires choice. It demands constant choice. I wish we could make one good choice in the middle of worship on Sunday and be good. But that's not how it works. You come out of the highest high after worship, and it's a choice waiting for you in that text an hour later. And the Lord is like, was the song that good? What you going to do right here, though? Because I saw your hands lifted up there, but what about right here when nobody's looking? Constant choices, y'all. And so as we go into the rest of this year, that's the challenge and the encouragement. That maturity, y'all, is not just numbers. It is not just showing up. It's not even just faithfully being here, which is awesome. It is the thing that no one sees. It's the ability to respond to the Spirit, especially when it coincides with the desires of the flesh.
So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure leave a comment, leave a review, share, subscribe, all the things, and we'll catch you next time.